amen. Well, I say amen to all what Brother Mike said about prayer. Remember one preacher standing up, and he said he heard two old women in the back of the church praying one time. One was saying, hold on, and the other one was praying, let go. And I'm glad God can hear our prayer, and he knows exactly how to answer it according to what he wants tonight. If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of Philemon. I want to bring a message out of there the Lord's laid on my heart. If you don't know where Philemon is, if you can find the book of Hebrews, and turn probably one page to the left, you'll find the book of Philemon. And I'm going to read quite a few verses tonight to kind of frame up before I get started, but I feel it's needful that we read a few verses tonight to frame up the book of Philemon. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm going to read most of them. If you're there, say amen. All right, we'll start reading in verse number 1 in the book of Philemon. It said, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, unto our beloved Apphia and Archippus, fellow soldier, unto the church in thy house, grace to you and peace in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore thought I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech ye, being as one Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, whose in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me and both in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou therefore count me as a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, the dear saints of God you placed in this place, in this ministry. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me tonight, Lord, to say things that you only want said. I pray for each of our teachers tonight, Lord, you'd help them. Lord, we thank you for a church to come to on the Wednesday night. Lord, we can study your word, Lord, and preach a message from your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to teach on a subject or preach. I'll probably do a little bit of both. But I want to look at this thought of forgiveness is by faith. Forgiveness is by faith. If you look throughout the book of Philemon, it's only one chapter. One chapter. And if I challenge you in here to read it tonight, each person in this building could probably read the whole book. I'm talking about if you want to get something knocked off your list tonight and you want to read one book, I challenge you to read the book of Philemon. You can knock it out pretty quickly. But I want to say this. In the book of Philemon, there's no real doctrine established in that book. There's not a lot of talk about faith. There's not a lot of talk about church and leadership and how things should be run in the church. There's nothing in there mentioning of the blood. And there's no mention of no real doctrine in the book of Philemon. How the church should operate, how the church should run, how the deacons. And Paul, if you're reading the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy and Titus, and all through the book of Ephesians and Galatians and all that, there's all the doctrines of the church that's been established. But in the book of Philemon, there's no real doctrine that's being taught there. But I want to say this. First of all, dynamite comes in small packages. And if you read the book of Philemon, I want to frame it up where you can understand it. I had a man preach some of this into my heart years ago, and I've never let go of what he preached, the things he taught. And he went through the book of Philemon, and he began to do it verse by verse, and I began to understand it, and I began to comprehend it. And it's a book of forgiveness. You see, in the book of Philemon, you'll find it's a letter by Paul. Paul had wrote a letter, and he sent it by the hand of Onesimus to his master. Onesimus was a slave. Philemon was his master. And if you'll read in verse number 1 and 2, you'll figure out that Philemon had a church that was operating in his house. And most people believe that Archippus was his son, was the one that was pastoring that church. And Philemon had a wife named Apphia. But I want to say all this, Onesimus was his slave. And there was something that Onesimus did that caused division between them. And let me say this, that division caused some unforgiveness. And let me say this, if you're in here tonight and you're not forgiven everybody that God has told you to forgive, God's given us a way to do that. Let me say this, how I got in this thing tonight. I got saved because of forgiveness. The Bible said we're saved by grace through faith. And let me say this, that orchestrated my forgiveness tonight. I stand here redeemed because of Christ my Savior. He went all the way to the cross. And not only did He forgive me of my sins, but everybody that will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their master tonight, guess what? He will forgive you of the sins that you've committed. The book of Philemon is about forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is always necessary. But I've noticed this about forgiveness. It always involves two parties, doesn't it? And I want to say this about you husband and wife, because there's things that could come in between you and things that could creep up and things between mamas and daughters and daddies and sons and relationships and your friends that could cause that division and cause unforgiveness. You see, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And it goes from the church house, it goes to my house. It goes to the White House. It goes to the schoolhouse. It goes to every house in America, that thing of unforgiveness. And let me tell you what, if you choose to operate in unforgiveness, I'll tell you what will happen. It will cause bitterness and it will root down inside of you. And in those two parties, there's always one that says I should forgive and another one that may say I should not forgive. And each party may think they're right. I want to bring out some things in the book of Philemon tonight that if you'll take grasp of this, I know they'll help you. It's helped me throughout my years. You see, unforgiveness starts when there's a hurt or a pain. And I'm not talking about somebody stepped on your toe in the sixth grade and you somewhat remember it and you ain't no longer hurting. I'm talking about that kind of pain when somebody has done something wrong to you. When you wake up in the morning, it's there. When you lay down at night, it's still there. I'm talking about an intense pain, your guts inside of you, just to even think about it. Unforgiveness. And let me say this, it's easy for the devil to come in between two people, to come between a relationship, and he calls that thing of unforgiveness. And let me say this, everything with unforgiveness ain't going to be solved in one little prayer on the altar in 5 minutes. Because you may pray that on Sunday morning, but guess what? When you wake on Monday morning, guess what's waiting on you? That person down at your job may have caused you some hurt, may have caused you some intense pain, may have caused you some tragedy, and guess what? You're going to see them. And all that stuff inside of you that you've been praying on that altar, guess what? It's going to rise back up. And it's going to take more than what's in you to be able to forgive them. If you'll look in verse number 6, look what Paul said. He said, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Paul said it's going to take more than you. It's going to take Christ. And let me say this. Onesimus was guilty. No doubt Onesimus had probably, most people believe he had stolen something from Philemon. And in Onesimus' eyes, he was guilty. And in the world's eyes, you know, you look at Philemon, in that time, it was all right to have slaves. And Onesimus could have said, well, maybe my master owed me that. And then Philemon could look back at Onesimus and said, hey, he stole from me. We ought to take the law against him, and we ought to take him outside and kill him or put him in jail. And both parties probably would have been right for each one of the things they said. And a lot of times, I want to say this, going back to that thing of no doctrine. If I went around this building tonight and I asked you if we all believed that Jesus was the only way to heaven, we'd probably say that was wrong. I wouldn't probably have anybody in here disagree with me with that statement, would I? If I said this is the Word of God, the authorized King James Bible is the Word of God, I probably wouldn't have any issue with anybody in here tonight by saying that. But I say this, God wrote a book that didn't have any doctrine because it had two people that had real problems. And let me say this, if you're operating in unforgiveness and you're living in this world, it's going to happen to you. And guess what? God wrote us a book so that real people could look at real problems and analyze what they did and how did they resolve that. How did they get reconciliation? How did they get restoration? And God gave us to that example. The first thing I want to look at tonight is unforgiveness is a problem that has to be faced. It's a problem that has to be faced. If you look in verse 14, it said, "But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, necessity." But say those next two words, "but willingly." He said, not because you had to, but because you wanted to. Some of us have said, "I'm sorry," just so our wives would be quiet. Hopefully I'm not by myself. Some of you, for some of you who laugh too hard, your wives have done the same thing. I can guarantee it. To try to avoid that confrontation or that unforgiveness. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's a problem that has to be faced. Because see, if we don't face that unforgiveness, guess what? It gets rooted in bitterness, and that gets down deep in our heart. And let me say this, it affects everybody. I'm tired of these people saying that, oh, I'm going to go out and sin and it don't affect anybody. Because I'm going to tell you, it does. I've seen people leave the church because of unforgiveness. I've seen that root of bitterness get down and so deep in somebody's soul. And let me say this, and they leave the church, but guess what? They took those babies with them too. They took their little kids. And I'm preaching that because it's all in everyone in the building tonight, including me, is that. Because somebody can do you wrong tomorrow, and that thing of unforgiveness can spring up in you so quick. And if you're married, it can, I mean, it's just like that. And the devil would love to spring up that unforgiveness in your heart so he could drive a wedge between family members, between husband and wife, between their children. And not only that, your other family members, between brothers and sisters, between mothers and fathers, all that stuff. The devil would love to drive that wedge because it's a problem that has to be faced. Paul told, he was writing back to Philemon. No doubt Philemon, you see today in today's world, if we were going to handle this, you know what they would have done? Paul, Onesimus got saved under Paul's preaching down in Rome, and he's writing back and he's sending that letter with him. You know what we'd have done today? We say, I'm sorry. You know how we'd have done it? We wouldn't have done it with a letter, would we? We just sent him a text. We just sent him a little Facebook message, maybe a little old Snapchat, maybe a little old tweet, something like that. We would send that thing off, shoot it off, and we think that will resolve the issue. Paul said it was necessity that Onesimus would take this letter and he would hand deliver it to him. Hand deliver it. That's something we don't see in today's world where you actually go to somebody and you actually talk to them and try to reconcile things the way the Bible said do. That's unknown. That's unheard of. But that's the way the Bible says to do. If you got an alt with your brother, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go to that person. And then it's got different guidelines of what you should do after that if they don't hear you and things. But if it was today's world, they'd have shut off that text and say, oh, I got that problem solved. I'll tell you a funny thing. I've been having the teenagers all this time. It's funny to me, they'll have a girlfriend. Will you be my girlfriend? Send them a text. And next sentence, they'll say, I don't want you to be my girlfriend. And it's over with. I said, all that, say this. Unforgiveness is a problem that has to be faced. You may be here tonight. You may have things down deep in your gut that nobody can see. But let me say this. God's given us a way out of forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you how it is. It's got to be faced. It's got to be confronted. Because if you don't, it'll drive that wedge between each one of your family members to where you can't even go to bed at night. Your sleep won't be the first thing that'll even cross your mind. You'll lay in bed. You'll toss and turn. And God never intended it to be that way. He said, if you'll read in verse 14, it said, not if it was a necessity, but willingly. He said, if you want to forgive somebody, Paul could have wrote to him. Paul, y'all know Paul's writing. Paul could have applied some authority in this, and he said, I want you to go down there and just tell him I said, he better forgive you. He better forgive you. But he didn't do that. You know why? Because forgiveness is always a choice. You will either choose to forgive or you'll choose not to forgive. And you say, why you say that? All that. I want to say this also. If you read that text, if you still got your Bible open, look down in verse number 5. He said, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus. And somebody say those next words. And toward all saints. You say, preacher, I'll forgive them. They'll come down and get saved. They'll get right with the Lord. I'll forgive them. You know what our problem is? Probably our worst enemy is already saved. He's already been born again. I'd be praying. I said, Lord, when they die, put their houses right next to each other in heaven. Put their mansion by mansion so they make this thing right in heaven if they don't get it right on earth. It's a problem that's got to be faced. You see, Paul said toward all saints. Well, guess what? Onesimus just got saved down on Paul's preaching down in Rome. So guess what Onesimus was? He was one of them saints. He said, if you're going to love, and guess what? Jesus loves everybody. And the Bible said he loved all saints. So if you're going to love all saints, guess who you got to love? Oh, Philemon's got to love Onesimus now because he's a saint of God. And he was confronted. He said, it's a problem that's got to be faced. Not only is it a problem that's got to be faced, I want to say, secondly, it's a process that has to be embraced. If you look in your Bible, look in verse number 15. It says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. If you look in that text, there's the word perhaps. You know what that word perhaps means? He said, it could be. If you'll do this, it could happen. Let me say this tonight. God has the ability to heal all relationships, hands down. You may be in here tonight, and I'm teaching on forgiveness or preaching that to you in your heart. God may have already popped somebody in your mind that you might have to go and forgive. Or somebody said they done me wrong, and it's a choice that you're going to make to whether you'll forgive them or not. Let me say this. Perhaps it could be if you'll let God do it. You see, inside of ourselves, he said it was in Christ Jesus. You see, inside of yourself, we hadn't got the strength to forgive. And that's why I've had things come into my own life to where I had to make that choice. Would I forgive somebody or would I not? And I'd lay in bed, and I'm talking about where your guts inside of you was so nervous that it wasn't going to go right. And you couldn't go to sleep at night. And let me say this, you had to rely on God. And that's where he wanted to get you to where he could actually put that in you, where you could actually, not through yourself, but through Christ, forgive him. See, because God forgave us all. If you've been saved tonight, guess what? He forgave you all your sin, all your trespasses, and all those things of unforgiveness. It's a process that has to be embraced. It was, could it be? It wasn't a warranty on a relationship that God's going to actually do it. He can do it if you'll let him. You see, in our lives, a lot of times we start making lists. Well, this one did me wrong. I'm going to write them down on my list. I see them in Piggly Wiggly. Guess what? I ain't going down that aisle. I see them down there at the Walmart. I ain't even going in there. Then I see them down there at the gas pump. I better go to the next gas station. And we start making that list. And let me say this, if you're making a list on people tonight, you'll find something wrong in everybody in this building. And I'll be number one on your list, I'll tell you. And you just mark me off. And I'll tell you, if you're doing that, you know what those people do? They grow old and alone. They die by themselves because everybody that they've marked down, they're knocking them off their list. And let me say this, it won't take you long to find fault in every one of us. And we'll be on that list. There's a story of a woman that one time went to the doctor. She'd been bitten by a raccoon, and she didn't know what to do. She just knew she had to go to the doctor. So she took off to the doctor. They took her in, and anyway, they ran all the tests. They took a needle and drew her blood and said, sure enough, you got rabies. And immediately, the lady asked the doctor, she said, you got a notepad? He said, what are you doing, writing your will? She said, no, I'm writing all the people I'm fixing to go bite. And that's the way we are with unforgiveness. We start doing all those things, and that bitterness comes down in us. And it's like a poison that we take. And we think that us drinking that poison is going to affect the other person. All inside of us, you know what it's doing? It's only destroying yourself. And that's what unforgiveness will start to do inside of each one of us. It's a process that has to be embraced. Not only the perhaps of it, you'll see the permanence of it. If you look back in our verses over here in verse 15, the last part of that verse says that thou shouldest receive him forever. I'm glad God does permanent stuff. He don't do things. I want to say this. He may not restore all your relationships, but let me say this. He's got the power to if you'll let him. He definitely does. God will bring people into your life. He'll bring people out of your life. I never will forget, I had something come up. We had an issue come up between us and another group of people, to be honest. And we got into a place, and I told them, this is what we're going to do if this happens. And it was going against my things that I was standing on. I stood, and I said, if you do this, we're going to do this. And we did, and it ended up, and it just busted up. I mean, they went their way, and I went my way. And I forgave them of it, but it took a while. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I struggle just like anybody. Just because you're a preacher don't mean that you're not going to struggle with things. They went their way. I went my way. It wasn't long. It's probably about 3 years after that. I never will forget this. Any of y'all been summoned for jury duty? I showed up in that courtroom under a summons for jury duty. Sat down in that courtroom, you know, waiting to see if I was going to get selected. And I was praying to God, said, please don't let it happen the whole time. I'm just being honest. But guess who walked in that room? That couple, that couple that we got into it and kind of had unforgiveness between both of us. And guess where he come and sat? There wasn't nothing. No, I mean, that's what God does. He's going to really test you, this thing of unforgiveness. He'll make them come sit right down beside you to make sure that this Bible is going to manifest itself in your own life. And me and him made it right there in that courtroom. We didn't care what was going on. All those other prisoners and whoever, I was just proud that I got that right. And then they didn't call my name. Can you say amen? It was a process that had to be embraced, the permanence of it. And now tonight, if I had an issue with that guy, I believe I could call him. He'd meet my needs, and I would meet his needs if he had something that we had to come together on, all because of forgiveness is by faith. So it's a problem that has to be faced. It's a process that has to be embraced. But lastly, I want just one more thing. It's a perspective that has to be erased. If you got your Bible, look down in verse number 16 for a second. Verse 16 says this, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou therefore count me a partner, receive him as myself. Paul just said a mouthful right there. You know what he said? Talking about this thing of unforgiveness. He said, look at that. He said, Onesimus was way down here. And Philemon was way up here, because Philemon was the master. Philemon, in the world's eyes, had done nothing wrong. Onesimus was way down here, talking about our perspective. We know he had wronged Philemon. He had probably stolen something from him. And Philemon was, and Paul had written back, and he said, Philemon, I want you to try to forgive him. It's all that's in you to forgive him. But he said this, and we know Onesimus was the servant, a slave. But what did he say in that text? If you look at him, he's way down here. He said, oh, okay. In verse number 16, he said, not now as a servant. So we see Onesimus, he's a servant. He's still way down here. But he said, not only do it as a servant. Look what he did. He took it a step further. He said, above a servant. He raised him on up a little bit. He didn't stop there, though, did he? Look what he said. He said, as a brother beloved. Now, we see Philemon, And we see Onesimus, he started off as a servant, then he said above a servant, then he said a brother beloved, now they're equal. See, all this talk about I'm going to be the better person, I'm going to be the one to apologize, you know why we say that? We raise up pride and say, I'm going to be the bigger man. But when you did that, guess what? You went way down here to do that, and you kept them way down there. You see, this thing with being forgiven people, you have to bring them. Not only that, he didn't stop there. If you've got your Bible, look over in the book of Colossians, chapter number 4. The book of Colossians, chapter number 4. Let's start reading in verse number 5. He said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always seasoned with salt, that you may know you ought to answer every man. In all my state, Tychicus shall declare unto you, who is beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. Look at who. We find our Bible character again. He said, with Onesimus. Look what he said. A faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. You know what he just did? He just raised him on up. And let me tell you this, when you ultimately forgive somebody, you know what you've done? You've brought them up higher than yourself, and you've esteemed that brother, and you've forgiven them of whatever they've done against you. And you know what you've done? You brought restoration. You brought reconciliation to the problem. It's a perspective that has to be erased. You can see in our eyes, a lot of times we say, I was right, they were wrong. And when we do that, guess what? If they come to us and said, hey, brother, will you forgive me? And they mean it with their heart. You know what he said? All that servant goes above a servant. Then he goes to a beloved brother. Then he said, who is one of you? And he put that guy above himself. You'll see that the position, not only the position, and this is the last thing I'll mention. If you'll look back in verse number 17, you'll see him as a partner. He said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. You know what Paul just said? He said, Philemon, if I came down to your house, you'd have the best food on the table. Not only would you have the best food on the table, you'd probably give me the master suite for the night. You give me the best of everything. You give me the best towels. You know them towels in your bathroom that you can't use, but everybody else can that comes over? He'd let him use them. He said, I count you therefore as a partner. And that's what true forgiveness is. It's by faith. If you're reading the Bible, Peter came to, and it's found in Matthew chapter 18, and it's also found in the parallel in Luke 17. Peter said, Lord, if my brother trespassed against me 7 times, should I forgive him? Y'all know the story. What did he say? He said, 70 times 7. And if you read the book of Luke, I ain't going to go turn to it tonight because of time. Right after they said that, Luke chapter number 17, verse 4 and 5, the disciples, you know what they said after he did that? He said, Lord, increase our faith. You see, forgiveness is not a mechanical process. It's going to take more than what's in you. When somebody's actually done you wrong, when they brought that intense pain against you, they brought that hurt against you, and I'm telling you, you're going to need some faith from the Lord, because guess what? One little prayer on the altar may not solve it. It may take the next day. It may take the next week. It may take the next month. But all that said, it's going to be by faith. There was an old missionary named Cora Ten Boom. Some of y'all probably read some of her stuff. She grew up in the World War II era. And Cora Ten Boom, you know, she housed the Jews, and she got captured by a demon-possessed Adolf Hitler, and they put her in the concentration camps down in Ravensbrück in the late 1940s. They released her, but in that prison camp, they killed her sister, and a lot of her friends, and even parts of her family in that old concentration camp. Well, in the process of time, Cora Ten Boom began to minister all around Europe, and she would go into place after place after place, and she would teach on this subject of forgiveness. God has a way of always testing us,
just like he did her in her story in the hiding place. There was one time she was there, and she was in an audience, and a man came from the back, and he sat down, and she began to teach on that message of forgiveness. And after that was all done, the guy walked up to her, and he began to explain. He said, "I was one of them soldiers down at that concentration camp down there at Ravensbrück." And as soon as he said that, in her mind, all she could think about was how they abused her, how they killed her sister, all that stuff of unforgiveness that she had got over. Guess what? It just rose back up in her. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, it's in every one of us, including me tonight. It rose back up in her. All that stuff that they had done to her, they killed her sister, all those memories that she had was replaying in her mind of all the ways that she should not forgive this man for what they had done. She said, she began to think about it, and she cried to the Lord. She said, "Lord, I need your help." She said, "I need you to lift my hand." And it took everything in her, and the Lord helped her. And she reached out her hand. That man had gotten saved, and he'd come back, and he didn't know it was her at the time, but he came to apologize. He told her, because she was telling her story about how in that concentration camp, how it all happened to her. And he said, "I was one of those soldiers, but let me tell you what, I've gotten saved." And that mechanical process, she raised that hand. She gave that man a hug. She said, "I forgive you." Let me say this, it's by faith. There's going to be times in your life that pain is going to rise back up in you. You know what you're going to have to do? Go back to the book of Philemon. Remember? Started way down here. You may have to raise that person up to above a servant. Not only that, above brother beloved. Not only that, to which is one of you. You see, Onesimus grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. And I got news for you tonight. We all grew up on the wrong side of heaven tonight. I grew up, and I deserved hell. I'll be honest with you. I should be in the lowest place in hell tonight. But God, through the process of forgiveness, he forgave me of all my sins. I got saved in the front row of Faith Baptist Church, April 8, 1998. And I stand here tonight redeemed when my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of Christ. All because of a thing called forgiveness. He said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32. It said, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted." Here it is. Forgiving one another. As God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. I wonder tonight, is there somebody in your life when I told them this message that you need to forgive? Not only that, I wonder if there's somebody in here who don't know that their sins are gone. Have you ever been saved? Have you had your sins washed away? It'd be a good night for that. Brother Mike, I turn it over to you.
Separated from God because of your ways of unforgiveness. But you know, I was thinking too, when I lay down tonight, I'm going to say, "God, would you forgive me my sins today?" You know, God never said no. He never said no. But he said, if I'd confess my sins, he's faithful, faithful and just to forgive me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So we ought to be Christ-like. He teaches it's not an option, it's a command. And the church of God ought not to have any divisions and any hard feelings toward each other. I appreciate that message, Brother Adam. It spoke to me. All right, I appreciate you being here tonight. You pray for our service Sunday. God would move and help us, help our church, help our sick people. We got elderly people that can't be here. You pray for them when you pray. Anything before we dismiss? We got men's fellowship, not tomorrow night, but next Thursday night. Be praying about that, men, and make plans to be here if you can. All right, stand with us. Brother Nicholas, you pray and dismiss us.